All right, God is good. This we call Palm Sunday in Christian tradition. And it's about this time of year, so can be accurate. Don't forgive me to give something. Okay. I'm with my wife not here, I can't remember anything, so I'm trying my best to remember to stay and so on and so forth. So when King David died on his deathbed, he spoke to his son and his successor, whom he also called his Lord. And you see, this is what he spoke to him. He said, he that rules over men must rule justly, ruling in the fear of God. He that rules over men, it could be a father, it could be a mother, it could be a worker, it could be a boss, it could be a king, it could be anyone. Anybody that rules over men. Anybody that has responsibility. But particularly, he was referring, because he was a king, and he was speaking to his son, who was to be the king. And so he said to him, who was also his Lord, he that rules over men must rule justly. You must be a righteous judge. You must rule with justice and truth and honesty and fairness and equity. And you must do so in the fear of God, meaning it's not your deal. It's not your deal. It's not your thing. This has nothing to do with you. If you're going to rule justly, you don't get to define justice like our politicians do. They often decide what's good for me. I don't like that. I don't like that because it might not be what God thinks is good for me. Now, God happens to like me a lot. And so he always wants me to win. And sometimes I feel like our rulers are thinking of themselves. Or maybe some bureaucrat somewhere. But they're not thinking of me. As I want more liberty, not less. And, you know, I want the full freedom to worship God as I want to, and love my neighbor as I want to. And if there's anything left over, they can rule over that. But I like to have the fullest, absolute, optimum. And I may have it. I may get it, because I'm kind of fierce about that. In other words, I'll disobey the law if it doesn't agree with me. Did you hear what I just said? I don't have any fear of man. I don't have any fear of prison or anything. I have a fear of God. So it's better to obey God than man when man goes against God. Now, if he rules in the fear of God, I'm okay. But if he doesn't, if he rules in his own name, arbitrarily, just make enough stuff for his own benefit, that's called unjust enrichment. Unjust enrichment means he's doing it for his own pleasure, his own purpose, his own convenience. Like those hovelings. I don't like those. That's not for my benefit. I paid for that with my taxes. I can't ride on it unless I have two. That's taken away my freedom and my money. So I'm just making that up as an example. I don't like all the government rules about garbage bags and everything else. All I want them to do is defend me against all my enemies. That's about it. The rest of it is hogwash. You see how I reduce government to a very small, limited role? It just protects me and my freedom. It doesn't have any rules for me. I don't want any rules. You hear that? Now, if I break a rule, then they can get me. But I'm not going to break them because I fear God. And if I do break them, then get me. But don't make up rules ahead of time that definitely I'm going to break. Did you hear me? Because we're all sinners. Is anybody aware of that? So I need some play. I need a lot more rain. You know, loosen the rain. But today the government, you know, thinks of everybody as a ward, as a slave. Do you all understand this? They think of everybody as a nincompoop, and they're the wise and the smart. But I think of government as stupid. And so I just give them one job. Defend me. Get the bad guy, let me be free. That's just simple. Do you all see that? King David said to his son, and his heir and his successor, whom he called his Lord, who was Jesus, not Solomon. Solomon, of course, was his heir. But Solomon, though he started out as a man of peace, he ended up as a bad guy. One thing, he married too many women. I'll tell you, it's hard to just even please one, let alone 700. That guy went crazy. But you can't please two women, because you can't even please one. To me, it's a full-time job. Y'all following? So, by the way, King David was a rotten family man. He was a good king, but kind of crummy at his children, his wife, all that stuff. Wasn't very good at that. So, but he was speaking to his son in terms of rule. He who rules over men must rule justly. Now, a just king, a righteous king, a true king, would be Melchizedek. Melka in Hebrew means king. And tzaddik, or tzedek, means righteous. So, a priest king, a righteous king, a holy king, a true king. That's the best king. So, same with pastors. I believe that I should be righteous, pure, holy, just, equitable, fair, and I should never think of myself. I should always think of you. Isn't that amazing? What a thought. I didn't think I should be worrying about myself. If y'all don't take care of me, maybe God will. Do y'all see that? So, I'm not looking to the church to do anything for me. It's my job to serve you, not to be served by you. Now, let's say you neglect me or abuse me or you know, rape me. Just simply use me and cast me off. It's good. Very good. I have no problem. But I can't do that. You can do it. I can't do it. I'm not going to change just because you change. If you're rotten and bad, it's my fault. Because I didn't show you a good example. How you should love your wife. How you should take care of your job. How you should do what you do. I'm to be an example to you, but not in my own name. My own nature is to be selfish and take care of me, like those rotten politicians. That's my nature. But God has killed me. He didn't like the way I was, so he killed me. And he said, Jim, I don't like the way you operate. I like you to be kinder than you are. You're selfish, self-oriented. You never think of others. You only think of yourself. Well, of course. So, I mean, are you surprised? You made me. And you gave me freedom and I used it. No, you misused it. Okay, I misused it. But nevertheless, we're all like that. Everybody in this room is like that. You're all nasty people. Selfish. Evil. Clever. Designing. Y'all, does anyone here want to admit that? Can I see a show of hands? Thank you. Okay, I'm at home. All right, now, because of that, he had to kill me. You can see why he'd have to kill me. Not physically. No. Psychologically, and not by force. He's a good king. He took all the burden on himself and said, Jim, I will forgive you for all your rottenness, and I'm going to help you. Two different jobs. First, I'll forgive you, then I'll help you. I not only will redeem you as Savior, right hand, but I'll also, not on my left hand, but also on my right hand, I'll do a second thing. I'll restore you to your original purpose, and I'll make you like myself. So, the master, the king, the one who rules over men, wants me to be like him. If he's holy, I'll be holy. If he's merciful, I'll be merciful. If he's powerful, I'll be powerful. Whatever he doeth, I doeth. Whatever he saith, I'll saith. So, as your pastor, you can see how blessed you are. Because I believe that. I fear that. He that rules over men must rule justly in the fear of God. That is, do what God says. Say what God says. Always follow the habit of God. Even though you were born a sinner, even though you were born selfish, even though your natural tendency, not tendency, your natural way, is selfish and nasty and so on. Even though I want to use you, and this is his idea, Pam. He likes to take people that are sinners and turn them into saints? Well, that's me. I was a sinner, and now I'm a saint. Do y'all see it? Well, it's slow in coming, but you'll see it eventually. It's just, it doesn't come out all the time. But every once in a while, it comes out. Now, that was what King David said on his deathbed 1,000 years before Jesus. 1,000 years before Jesus. He said, and he was dying. He was, this is about the end of it. Boom. It's going to expire in a few seconds. And that's the last thing he said on earth. I just wanted to say one thing I've learned over all these years. He that rules over men must rule justly, ruling in the fear of God. And Jesus heard that. Because Jesus is the Son of David. But he's also Jesus' Lord. And when he was on the earth and they were about to kill him, he mentioned that to the Jewish leaders who were religious. And he told them, you know, you religious guys are going to kill me, which is your evil way of getting rid of me and doing what you want rather than what God wants. Because God wanted you to be holy and you're not. And I'm here to tell you that, and I know you're going to kill me, and God will outwit you. Because as soon as you kill me, I'll just jump up again. Because you see, you can't stop love. And I'm going to jump up again and forgive you. While you're killing me, I'll let you know, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. You hated me without a cause. I was your only hope. You killed me, the one hope you had. I was the only way you would ever get on the right side of God. You've kept the law. You've tried to, you know, please people. You've tried to, you know, fake people out and stuff just to get rich and take care of yourselves and so on. You've used religion not the way God wanted it. Your religion was rotten to the core. You're killing God's son. How can God set up a religion that kills his own boy? That is wrong. Can you see the churches today also kill Jesus? The churches that name Jesus, yet they kill him. They say Jesus, but they're actually just out for themselves. The pastors are, you know, running off with the organist or whatever they do, you know, grabbing the money in the back room or whatever. Whatever they do, putting big billboards out with their ego picture on it and so on. Okay, I'm okay with all that. I'm just saying it. That's not the religion of Jesus. In the religion of Jesus, you suffer. Amen? If you're a pastor, you should be suffering. Isn't that exciting? Now, I happen to like that. It doesn't bother me. Because Jesus loves me. So he takes care of all my needs according to his riches and glory. I don't need anything. Isn't that great to be a pastor that's completely independent? You don't need anything from anybody else. You just want to give, you don't want to get. You just want to give, you don't want to get. That'd be a good mother. That'd be a good father. That'd be a good boss. That'd be a good pastor. That'd be a good king. So Jesus comes as king, and everybody misunderstands him. Are you aware of that? Today's Palm Sunday. What does it mean? It means Jesus came into town, and he was letting Jerusalem know, oh, by the way, I'm the king of Jerusalem. In fact, I'm the king of all the Jews. In fact, I'm the king of the whole world. In fact, I'm the king. So he who rules over men must rule justly, ruling in the fear of God. Okay, I've come in the name of the Lord. And you need to respond, Baruch haba, b'shem Adonai. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. You didn't come in your own name. God sent you. He sent Jesus into the world to redeem Israel and the whole entire world because they were sinners. Because they'd gone away. They'd gone astray. They'd gone out of the path. In other words, he wanted holy people, and all that religion ever produced is unholy people. Buddhism, Hinduism, Judaism, Catholicism, Protestantism, it's only produced unholy people. People that either sin openly and rottenly, or they religiously, legalistically, hypocritically pretend like they're nice when they're not. Amen? Am I describing anybody here? How many of you are rotten, open sinners? Okay. Oh, quite a few. This took a while to say that. Okay, and how many of you are legalistic, hypocritical, I'm better than you are type phony sinners? That's the same group. It's the same group. It's the same group. That's your pastor's fault. Because you should be rotten sinners, or dead. But you should never be phony, fake. Why? It's too much work. I mean, no, it's hard work to love people when you don't. I mean, it's hard work to be fake. It's hard to do that which you don't want to do. You know, that's the problem with Jews. The problem with the Jewish people was they did the religion outwardly, but inwardly they were ravenous wolves. They had sheep's clothing on the outside, calling themselves pastors, shepherds, you know, good guys. And yet inwardly they only cared about themselves and didn't care about other people at all. In other words, they behaved, but their heart wasn't in it. They were phony, fake, and God saw their heart. Well, you know, that guy's doing it outwardly, but he inwardly a ravenous wolf. Be like Pam, you know, she's nice to me outwardly, but she may actually be selfish. She may be wanting something secretly, have a little string attached, but keep the peanuts up. It's good. Pam knows I like peanuts, and she gets good ones. So she's nice to me. It's good. I hope you go to heaven. But you won't go because you gave me peanuts. you're going to go because you're a rotten sinner that Jesus Christ has forgiven. Amen? So it's not wrong to do outward good things. It's only wrong to figure out what they are. You don't know what a good thing is. How do you know if a good thing is to rebuke somebody or to hug them? You don't know. Maybe what they need is not a hug, but a rebuke. You remember the prodigal son thing? You know, the guy was starving in the pig pen. And God didn't go and rescue the guy or set up a little welfare system for him so he could continue to stay in the pig pen and get free burgers from the government. But he left him in the pig pen eating corn cobs till he came to himself and he thought, geez, what am I doing? How's this leading to happiness? When I had a lot of money, everybody liked me. Now that I'm out, I'm eating corn cobs. I mean, after the pigs have eaten all the corn off of them, I get to eat the cob. That was basically it. And wow, when I had money and I could throw it around, everybody liked me. Have you ever noticed that? When you're doing well, people like you because they want to use you. But when you're in trouble, they despise you and forget you, and nobody brought them any burgers. But if they'd had a welfare state with Obama as president and Al Gore as his, you know, global warming advisor, it would have some help, would have gotten government to be a friend. I don't want a friendly government. I want a government that's mean and nasty against bad guys and leave me alone. That's the only kind of government I want. I don't want a government that helps me. I have God as my helper. Why would I want two helpers? I don't want government as my helper. They're just sinners. How many other government people are sinners? Just like pastors. But I come to you in the name of the Lord, which means Jesus doesn't want me to come in my own name. Doesn't want me to be me. He wants me to be him. So I'm not supposed to say what I want to say. I'm supposed to say what he wants me to say. Do y'all see that? I'm not supposed to say to Peggy what I want to say to her. I'm supposed to say what he wants to say to her. He's a lot friendlier than me. He's a lot more nicer. He's forgiving and merciful and kind. He doesn't get impatient. I don't think he ever goes like this. I don't think he ever does that, but I do that. I go like that a lot. Peg, come on. You know, I mean, I'm disgusted with her. She even asked me, are you disgusted with me? And then, you know, she knows I am, but I always say no, because that's a Christian thing to say, no. But she knows I'm a hypocrite, and she knows it's a lie. You're disappointed in me. How many have ever felt that someone was disappointed with you? Oh, let me ask that again. How many have ever felt like someone was disappointed in you? You know, you just couldn't live up to whatever you did. They weren't impressed. They didn't like you. And it's just because you were you. I mean, it wasn't for any particular reason that you did bad things, though you did. But it really wasn't for that. Whether you did good or bad, they were still not. There was the goal was so high that you never measured up. Has anybody ever been with anybody like that? That is hell. It really is. That is hell on earth. To be with somebody that thinks, well, he was good, but, you know, we expect that. But not good enough. So don't think you're going to get a smile out of me just because you did what you're supposed to do. You may not have done it perfectly. Wow, that's a hard person to please. Whereas I'm very easy to please because you don't have to do anything. In fact, you can hate me. You can despise me. I'm pleased with that. I'm pleased when people despise me and hate me and judge me wrongly. I don't even correct it. Peg says, well, say something. I don't want to. Let them hate me. Yeah, but you could explain. I don't want to explain. Well, I'll call them. Don't. Well, now they're thinking the wrong thing. Good. Let them think it. You see, I don't want a reputation. Are you all understanding? I just want to do what Jesus says. I don't really care what people think. I don't regard people. I don't worship people. I don't think anything of people. I think they're just like me. Did you know that the pitiful thing is you're all like me? It's pitiful. It's horrible. You are exactly like me. I know some of you think you're better. That's a trick. That's a trick. You're no better. You're exactly as rotten as I am. I could point out a few of you who are equal to me. I can see you right now. But some of you actually think, yeah, I wish Pastor would clean up a bit, you know, just fix up. Just, you know, he could be a lot better. He would just, you know, change some of his habits and some of his ways and not say certain things. I know some people are so disturbed. That's why we're short on people here. Why do you always say this? Why do you always have to say that? If you just change, you could be greater than you are. You are selling yourself way short. Pastor, you have a lot of good things going for you, but you happen to bring out the worst side all the time. You know, has anybody ever thought anything like that? You ever thought of a little correction you could make? You know, don't be scratching your ears all the time. Don't be picking your nose. Have anybody thought, I wish he wouldn't talk about certain subjects, or I wish he would say it differently, or whatever? Has anybody ever thought that? No, seriously. Has anybody ever thought that? You have, Pam? What's one of your criticisms? Talking about Peggy? Okay, that's a good one. Has anybody else ever thought that? That my talking about Peggy's irritating? Yes. Anyone else? Well, she's not here, but I'll speak for her. She loves it. She gets attention. Everybody feels sorry for her. She loves it.
She loves it.
She loves it. Y'all think we have a rotten marriage or something? No, it's great. It's actually awesome. It's okay with all that. Anyway, forget that. It'd be better if you judge yourself rather than me. I mean, not for my sake, but for yours. I don't care if you judge me, because I'm not living up for you. I'm living to God. He loves me. Oh, he just tickled pink with me, no matter what. Okay? So just all you have to do is die. All you have to do is just stop being you. Just be Jesus. Even if I did do everything wrong, you still should love me as I am. Just as I am, without one plea. So I don't have to live up to your standard, or your standard of what a good pastor would be, or a good Christian. I live up to Jesus' standard. I always meet his standard. Why? Because he is my standard. He loves me as I am, no matter what. And he's my life. He's my joy. He's my peace. You should look at me differently. You should look at me as a wonderful gift from heaven. It says so in the Bible. So I'm a wonderful gift from heaven. Who would like to stand up and say, Pastor Jim, you are a wonderful gift from heaven?
You are a wonderful gift.
Oh. Amen. I tell you, every once in a while, wonderful things happen. It's good. Danuta, would you say that? Yeah. It's good. It's good. See, the rest of you are wrong. That was good. I like that. It's very good. Keep it up. Yeah.
I think we, when everybody says that they don't like about you, you speak about
Peggy.
Peggy.
Yeah.
I think it's good you do that, because most people, we always preach about other people.
Yeah.
They say, I know a family, they do this, they do that, but they never speak. And then for me, that is really good, because you speaking in your house,
yeah,
for your house.
And right.
And for me, that's said, that is good, because I hear most, like, listed people is that, I know a family, they do this, they do that, but they are the perfect. And
right.
For me, that is, when you speak about your wife, for me, it's like a good sample, and say, because we used to pick other people to put it for bad example, and
right.
Then you be speaking to your house. And
yeah.
Then the Bible say you have to be a very good with your house, and then you speak to other
right.
people, right?
Amen.
And for me, that is, for me, it's like a, wow, that's good, you know?
Amen. Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. I like that kind of church member. That's a good church member.
One.
Yeah. You got one. Yeah, I got one. Praise God. No, Joseph also. Got two. All right. Jesus, thank you, Hugo. That's because Hugo is rotten like I am. But it's okay. Look, here's the deal. Get your eyes off of yourself. I want you to say it right now. I'm not going to think of myself anymore. Nor am I going to compare Pastor Jim to Jesus. Thank you. Why? Because the Bible forbids it. That's why. And it's good for you. Don't compare yourself with other men. It says, compare yourself to Jesus. Not somebody else. Compare yourself to Jesus. Why? Because then you'll always come up wrong. Get the log out of your own eye, then you can see so clearly somebody else's speck. Did you know that my sin compared to yours is a speck and yours is a log? Now, who would like to get up and say, that's true? Yeah? It's true? You know, you're the only reason that you pick on me, the only reason you do that is because you're hiding from your own. It's just a distraction. Like, I don't want to look at how rotten I am, so I'll look at somebody obvious. And I'm happy to do that. That's why we killed Jesus. We killed Jesus so we didn't have to look at our sin. Silly. That was silly, because Jesus actually loved us. He actually was perfect. How would you like to have Jesus as your pastor? And he'd pick out all your sins. You don't know. He would see right through you. He would say something like he said one time, get behind me, Satan. I would like to have a pastor like that. You know, hypocrites. I love the way Jesus just cut through religious people. You know, now if you were humble, he would lift you up. But if you were proud, he would pull you down. Did y'all see that? All right. When Jesus came into town, what did he ride on? A donkey. Okay? It was in the Old Testament. So he just did what was written in the Old Testament. Because I told you, he didn't do his own thing. He didn't just think, instead of a white horse, I'll come in on a little donkey. Oh, it was in the Bible. So he just did it. And that's the way kings in the ancient world actually rode donkeys. I don't know if you know that. Because they were very dependable. Horses are real sensitive and stuff, and it's a show-off thing. But a donkey is humble because a king should fear God. A king should be humble. A king should just do what God says. Shouldn't do what the people says. The government shouldn't follow the people. Those people are just people. And the government is just people. But they should do what God says. They should fear God, be limited by God. And I should not do what I want to do or say, but I should just, and I do sometimes. I let you know that so you don't ever worship me. I don't think anyone here is worshiping me, and you should not. You should worship Jesus. Because it's not about you. It's not about me. When Jesus came into town, it wasn't even about Jesus. It was about the Father's love to set up a holy kingdom like he originally intended. It's not about you. It's not about me. What does it mean to me? Who cares what it means to you? It's about God, his plan, his purpose, His ability, His glory, His mercy, His power. It's all about God. So God was setting up a kingdom, and He said, Jesus, go down there. He sent Him. You go down there, and you show us, you show them our holiness, our mercy, our power, our majesty, our glory. And then they'll be indicted. Then they'll know that their kingdoms are wrong. They won't know it unless you do it. So Jesus came into town. Look at this. He comes into town on a Sunday. It was actually late Saturday night. But anyway, whatever time of day, it doesn't matter. But He came into town on Palm Sunday. And actually, it was like this afternoon when the sun is about to go down. And he came in. There's still light, but it's just about to get dark. And the people all got excited, and they said, Hosanna to the Son of David. Remember that? I just told you what David said to his son, who was his Lord. I just told you that. Hosanna to the Son of David. But he's actually the Lord of David. But anyway, they just said to the Son of David. Hosanna to the King, in other words. Hosanna to, here's God's King. Here's the righteous King. Here's the true guy. This is a kingdom of love guy. This is a kind of just guy. The fruits of this kingdom will be love and justice. You'll know a Christian because they'll be full of love and justice. Well, he came into town, and then, in the middle of the week, they killed the guy. He came in as a king. He came in riding on his donkey, and then they killed him in the middle of the week. And that was the end of the king. The guy never did become king. Isn't that amazing? The guy is a total flop. He's a failure. And all of his disciples, 10 of them, ran away. One of them betrayed him. Another one of them denied him. That's 12. All 12 of them goofed up on Jesus. Poor Jesus.